Hi, my name is Dr. Barry Holzer.
And I'm Chani Holzer.
Thank you for tuning in today to Parent is a Verb on OURadio.org. Today, our topic is taking care of yourself as a parent.
Right. This is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. I think particularly because when I became a parent, it was something that I struggled with. I don't think I ever read this chapter or knew this chapter was supposed to be part of the parenting manual. So having struggled, or at least, I don't know, struggled, it's hard to say, but looking back on it, it wasn't something that I knew automatically, and it wasn't anything that I, that came easy for me, because I just felt, you know, when I stepped into role as of mother and wife, that it was all about everybody else, and suddenly I didn't seem to matter, and it didn't matter what I wore. It didn't matter whether I went to a doctor unless I absolutely had to. That meant I was dying or giving birth. It just wasn't on the agenda. There were too many other people to deal with.
I think it's also sometimes a cultural and generational thing. I think that a lot of the kids growing up today are much better at sort of being focused on themselves. And I think growing up, let's say, in the 60s, you're still back in the generation where your job was to be good, do what your parents told you, come home with good grades, and that was it. And the idea of, you know, really sort of focusing on yourself is what we avoided. I think very much today, achieving a balance becomes more difficult in the other direction. But I think as parents, a lot of people get so involved in just giving that sometimes we forget the importance of really taking care of ourselves so that we can be better parents.
Right. I think, you know, the big danger of not really caring for yourself well is that it's very hard to be a good nurturer and a good giver and someone who can be present well for other people when you're very, very depleted. Depleted emotionally, depleted physically, depleted spiritually, and just not putting back into that well so that there's something to draw from. So, again, a topic near and dear to my heart. I think it's extremely important. And I agree with you that kids today are growing up probably more acquainted with take care of being able to care for themselves and giving to themselves. Although I have to tell you from, you know, my own private practice, I see a real schism. It's almost like there are two opposite ends of the pole, and somehow the middle is a very, very difficult place to achieve. So I see people who are probably what we might, you know, I don't like to judge, but maybe we would view as overindulgent. And I see people who have no clue and are totally unaware that they're not giving to themselves, that they're not taking care of themselves, and that that needs to be on the agenda.
And I think as parents, if we're in good balance between giving and caring for ourselves, we can model that and teach that to our children, how to do the same. How to, on the one hand, not be just self-focused and indulge only myself. And on the other hand, how not to just be all self-sacrificing and feel that that's the only way I'm allowed to be.
And it's a real gift when you can model that balance, because just from my own perspective of not having come with that balance in place, it was a struggle, and it was a struggle at a time where everything seemed to be a struggle. So coming in with that gift, coming into parenthood with that gift already in place, just makes it so much easier.
Right. I think especially for new parents, especially a mother with a young baby, you get so wrapped up in just caring and giving all the time that sometimes it's hard to remember to take care of yourself. And if you don't have somebody else who stops you and tells you, here, take a break, go out, do something, you know, get some time off, you almost forget to do that.
I just remember the very first time someone said to me, someone who I respected, so I was able to hear it, someone said to me, just because you're home taking care of your children doesn't mean you have to walk around in the same denim skirt and the same sweatshirt you've been wearing for the past 5 years. And I was totally astounded. I was like, wow, like what a revelation. I could wear decent clothes even though I was home caring for my kids.
So on a practical level then, what we're talking about is that, you know, you have to remember that you have to do for you as well, that you're a person too. So just like you make appointments for the kids to go see the doctor and the dentist and so forth, you have to make sure you do that for yourself. If you take them to, whatever, just getting a haircut.
That's a really good one, haircuts, because I think that's almost like the funniest one, because the kids have to be well-groomed, their hair has to be neat, and you know, everything, they have to look right. And, the last time you had a haircut was like you can't even remember. If you can't remember the last time you had a haircut, it's been too long, probably, unless for some reason you're growing your hair endlessly.
Right. Well, I think especially for women who cover their hair, sometimes, it's like other people don't notice it, don't see it that much, then they're not going to say anything or mention it. But it's important for them. It's part of really taking care of yourself. And you have to put yourself on your to-do list.
Absolutely.
The other aspect is really not to overextend yourself, not trying to do too much. And we all have our limits. And it's interesting because there are some women, who've got 8 kids and make a big Shabbos with 10 guests every week, and they seem to and have a and teach and this and that, and they seem to have it all together, and they I think sometimes other people look at them and it makes them feel
really inadequate. We don't like those people who look like they have it all together and are doing it all. And honestly, from real experience, Barry, I don't think that any of that's necessarily so real, and there's always a price being paid at some point. Even if it works for a while, things have to be reevaluated.
Right. And so that there are times in people's lives, when if you've trained your kids and you've got a few, kids who are older and can help out and do and so forth, so that it's a family project when you have guests coming and everybody's likes it and gets excited and does it together, that they can really pull it off because they have kids who are 13, 15, 18, who are willing to help out in the kitchen and do stuff and so forth.
And have been trained to do it.
Right. So then, you can't, don't try to always compare yourself to those people.
That's an excellent point. Really, like, always looking at yourself as the unique individual that you are and the unique circumstances that you find yourself in, and not comparing and not thinking, well, just because, my neighbor does it this way and that way, and I don't do it that way, there must be something wrong with me.
So I think you have to, we all have our own strengths and our own limitations. And I have to accept myself for who I am. And the things that I find easy are fine to do, but the things that, really take a lot out of me, I can't just keep pushing myself. I think, having a lot of guests for Shabbos is a good example. Because, I think some people, husbands and wives, have certain expectations of themselves, of how they should do or what they should do. And it's not always realistic and not always the healthiest thing for the family either.
I think that's an amazing point. I'm glad you mentioned the expectations of oneself. Sometimes we have expectations of ourselves and they worked fine, but all of a sudden, it doesn't seem to be working anymore. Does that mean there's something wrong with you? No. That means that something's changed, something's shifted, and your expectations of yourself have to go along with that. They have to change.
Right. You can't do what you've done before if now you have a 1-year-old and 3-year-old at home. You can't have the same expectations that you have in terms of you're involved in community, involved with friends, things are going to shift because you have other priorities. And so you have to be aware of those other priorities, take them into account, and instead of feeling guilty or feeling upset with yourself and so forth, really learn how to take care of yourself so that you may have to cut out certain things, but you also have to put time in for certain things that really help you and make a difference for you. So if your favorite time is when you have friends over for lunch on Shabbos and that's when you really feel calm and relaxed, well then yes, you want to be able to do that, but you may not be able to do that every week. But on the other hand, if having guests over is very stressful and it's a lot of work.
Well, it could be fun when it's happening and could make you feel very good and relaxed and happy when it's happening, but the gear up for it may come at an enormous price, because by the time you get there, you're a wreck and a half. You have to reevaluate. Maybe I don't have to have 3 couples over. Maybe it's just having 1 couple. Maybe it's just having friends over after the meal so that we can hang out and schmooze.
Right. And maybe I could do Shalosh Shudas instead of Shabbos lunch or make it easier. Or maybe I can buy a few things and not feel I have to make everything myself. Putting things into balance, okay? Not pushing yourself beyond your own limits and being able to accept the fact that there are going to be limits that you have and being able to prioritize and really give yourself a break.
I'm also, you know, glad that you mentioned not pushing yourself. I think sometimes not pushing yourself regularly beyond your limits is important. But if you're constantly pushing yourself beyond your limits all the time, maybe it's time to look at what's going on in your life. Maybe things really have changed so much so that you need to reevaluate and you need to look at what's going on here and what am I doing. And maybe I need to do things differently and maybe I need to reprioritize. Maybe something has to change. Maybe there are things that I'm doing that could wait. You know, maybe I don't have to clean out the closets of the summer clothes on September 1st or whatever date, you know, you decided was going to be that magic time that it had to get done. Maybe it doesn't have to get done until, you know, 5 or 6 weeks later when everyone's settled in school and things are calmer.
Right. And maybe preparing for Pesach doesn't mean doing spring cleaning in every closet in the house.
Definitely doesn't mean cleaning every closet in the house.
But for many women who grew up with that and are used to doing that, that seems to be a priority and it's hard to change and let go. And sometimes you have to say, realistically, this is just too much. I'm not going to do this. Okay, this time, I'm just going to go through, check for the chametz, and we're going to skip spring cleaning in half the apartment this year.
I think it's what I'd like to call becoming more realistic about the current situation and forgiving yourself and letting things just slide a little bit, but not in a bad way, in a good way. Looking at things sliding in a good way as opposed to, oh my gosh, I'm some sort of inept person because I can't do it all. You weren't supposed to do it all. You're not going to do it all. It's impossible for one person to do it all. And that brings me to another point that I really think is incredibly crucial, especially if it's one that you're not necessarily familiar with or grew up with. And that is bringing on help and delegating jobs to other people. Maybe it's time to bring more help in the house and purchasing domestic help or babysitting help so that it's not all on you. And you're not stretched and stressed to the limit. I think for people who haven't grown up with the idea of extra help, strangers, quote unquote, coming into your house, they're not so strange after a while. After a while, they become part of the family. It's a very difficult adjustment. And again, I think it's important to emphasize that you're not a failure. Actually, it takes a great, insightful person to realize that they can't do it all and that it's time to look elsewhere for help. Buying yourself babysitting hours can make an enormous difference in how you feel about looking at your kids all the time and having to take care of them. You might be more energized, you might feel more relaxed, and you might be able to look at them in a different light with less angst and stress. I just remember the first time I dropped our oldest off when she was 2. I think it was a playgroup, and suddenly I was all by myself. And my car headed off to Bloomingdale's because it was the closest department store to our house. And there I was in Bloomingdale's by myself feeling very weird. And, you know, the weirdness didn't last that long. It felt really, really good. And when I went to pick her up 2.5 hours later, because that's all the playgroup time was, it was great to see her. It was a pleasure to see her again.
I think the key here is that if you're able to balance things so that you don't feel stretched to the limit, you really can enjoy your parenting experience more. And if you're enjoying being a parent, you're feeling positive about being a parent, instead of saying, what am I doing here? You're going to do a better job as a parent.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the discomfort with hiring or purchasing help, you need to look at it as an adjustment process, that it is going to feel weird, uncomfortable, strange with someone you don't know who's coming into your life to do very personal things for you, to pick up your baby, to hold your baby, to do your laundry. But again, you're chief in charge, so you need to think about how you want this to occur in your house and set it up that way. There are some people who say, well, I could never have anybody do my laundry because they're not going to know how to fold it. That's true. Guess what? That's reality and that's true. So there are a couple of ways to look at that. Either my laundry is going to be get folded a different way, the way this person folds it, and that's fine. Maybe it's just great the way they fold the laundry, or maybe you're going to have to teach the person how you like it done, and that takes time, and that's a process, because they may not get it right the first 6 times they do it. But it's about being patient and knowing that eventually it's going to be done more or less the way you need it, and it's something you won't have to do. You really need to know, you know, and use your own limited personal resources well so that you're not doing it all. You can't do it all.
I think that, especially for some women are really loving mothers and have no problem being home 24/7 with their kids. And yes, it's important for them to get out occasionally and so forth. For some women, it feels like they just got put in jail.
Lack of adult company sometimes makes people feel like they're in prison.
Right. And, you know, I've heard, you know, like, well, if I go out and work and then I have to pay for babysitting, you know, I come home, by the time I'm finished paying for everything, I hardly made any money. Well, that's true, and it may not be worth it if you really don't enjoy the work. But on the other hand, you know, if you were teaching and you love teaching and you really want to go back to it, so going out to teach those 4 hours a day might be great for you, and you come home feeling good and energized. And even if the bottom line isn't great, if it, emotionally it feels better, if you come out feeling energized and feeling good about what you're doing, and you're able to connect with other adults, and you're able to feel like more of a professional and feel good about yourself, it may well be worth it.
That's a great point. I mean, sometimes it's just untenable because there aren't so many of those wonderful, rewarding part-time jobs available. But I think teaching is one of those areas where it really is a viable possibility, even though we all know all too well that teachers don't get paid enough.
But it's the point isn't the specific job. I mean, I just was talking to a woman the other day who contracting the work that she was doing was sort of drying up, and she ended up taking a different job. But she says being home unemployed would make me just feel horrible. I'd get depressed. I'd feel so unproductive. You know, and so she doesn't have little kids at home, but you know, the idea of just being out there, finding what makes you feel good, being able to do the things that make you feel good. And that's really about feeding yourself emotionally, spiritually, professionally. So one thing is on the professional level, to really find the things that you can still connect with, that you're going to feel good about, and that you may, it may require a change in what you were doing before. In your career, you really took a change of direction.
Completely.
Because, you know, because you had kids and you realized the work you did before wasn't going to work with it.
Absolutely. I went from being one type of social worker who took care of communities and did organizational work to becoming a psychotherapist because that was what was going to work better with my lifestyle, being a mother. And it's fabulous because I can do it. I have been able to do both somewhat simultaneously.
So that finding what's going to feed yourself professionally is important, and that's part of taking care of you.
And if you're a stay-at-home parent, still finding things that feed you emotionally, physically, and spiritually are no less important. It's equally important so that you can feel joyful about being in the role of being parent, chief in charge of children, and running a household.
Right. And I think sometimes when the bottom line isn't always makes the most sense, I mean, I think husbands have to be learn and understand, you know, that it's important to spend the money on the help, or it's important to have this trade-off or whatever it takes. And this is really part of taking care of you, taking care of each other, taking care of your family. Okay. The idea is to really keep yourself, you know, feeling good about what you're doing so you stay emotionally healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, one of my top 10 mottos in life is buy yourself as much help as you can afford. It will be money well spent.
Right. Now, going beyond that is that, you know, taking time for yourself to do the things that you enjoy. So, you know, if you enjoy going to the gym or taking a yoga class or, you know, just, I don't know.
Those are really important. I mean, very halacha l'maisa, very important things to to take care of yourself. Going to the gym, taking care of your body, especially for women whose bodies are, you know, who are giving, having babies, their bodies are changing all the time, and being able to feel good about your body and working out at a gym if that's something that you want to do, or taking a walk or bike riding or doing any facsimile thereof that takes care of your body and makes you feel good about yourself is critical.
Right. But you really have to prioritize. And if the important thing for you is just having time to read a book or join, be going to a book club, making the time for what's going to help you, because based on what's important for you, or really saving up to go away for a long weekend or take a little vacation. I think it's important to spend time with your spouse. You know, to have time to talk to each other. And sometimes things are so hectic during the week. For many women, you know, well, by the time, you know, he comes home, I'm falling asleep and I'm not interested in talking already. I'm exhausted because the baby gets up at 6 a.m. You know, sit down till, you know, by 9 o'clock at night, I'm wiped out. Well, at least one night a week then. Get a babysitter, go out for coffee.
Absolutely, because that's also is part of taking care of yourself. You, that emotional connection that you had, I'm saying, with your spouse needs to be something that you have with your spouse, because that's part of taking care of yourself.
Right, and that connection needs to be nurtured. And the way you nurture it is by
making time for it.
Making time and being able to talk about all the little things that are important going on in your life. It's not just about, you know, having the major decisions. It's about the little decisions and the little things that happened, the little things that occurred day in and day out each week.
Right. You'll never guess what finally happened with, you know, the neighbor who's been, causing all the problems on the block because their kid can't share, you know, and swiping everybody's bicycles. You'll never guess what happened, how this whole thing resolved. Sharing that with your spouse is important.
Right.
It's important to keep that connection going.
And it's also important for each spouse to make sure that their partner is being taken care of and taking care of themselves. And this applies to men and women. And very often you'll have men who are, you know, they have babies at home, they have to make extra money, they're working overtime, they took on a new job, you know, and they're really, you know, they still, you know, they get up early, they try to learn, you know, and they're really burning the candles at both ends. And they're not making time. I think men do this more. They don't have friends that they really talk to and connect with, or have time to do that or make time for it. And they're not taking care of themselves emotionally. They're not taking care of themselves physically.
Mm. Oh, that's for sure.
And so it's very important that, you know, if you're taking care of yourself, then you really can take care of everyone around you. And it's the old airplane rule. Every time you go on the plane, they tell you, you know, if there's an emergency and the cabin depressurizes, then the oxygen mask is going to come down. And if you're sitting next to a child, make sure you put on your oxygen mask first before you put it on your child, because you can't help anyone else until you help yourself first.
Absolutely. And that's a great paradigm. It's a powerful paradigm to remember, that oxygen mask paradigm. But I think also when it comes to one spouse, you know, vis-a-vis another spouse, if one spouse sees the other spouse kind of struggling and kind of not being in touch with that, they're not being taking care of themselves well enough, you don't want to beat your spouse over the head and, like, you know, point it out and saying, you fool, like, look at what you're doing, you're a mess, you're a wreck. You know, you need to stop, you need to take care of yourself. You need to be able to first tune into, like, what's going on with my spouse? Why is this happening? Is there some special set of circumstances? And if you are noticing that they're struggling, it's like, you know, the load is too much, it's too heavy, you have to kind of point that out gently and caringly and lovingly.
You know, very often, if you realize yourself that you're angry or that you're sad or you feel a lack of energy or you just can't enjoy anything anymore or you have lost interest in your spouse, then you have to monitor yourself and realize you have a problem. But very often, we don't realize it on ourselves nearly quick enough. And our spouse is much better at seeing that. If I'm barking at the kids, my spouse is going to probably notice quicker than I am. And so if that's happening, you really have to recognize it and look at it and say, what's going on here?
I remember when our kids were very little, I don't know if you remember this, but I do, you know, the gym was very important to me. It was a place where I had great outlet physically and for sure emotionally, and it made me feel really good in every way imaginable. And it was a break from the kids in the house. And sometimes it was hard to get there, and you'd look at me sometimes on a Sunday morning and you'd say, you really need to go to the gym. Like, you know, make some time for it. You really need that. And it was good because I couldn't always, maybe I could see it on myself, or maybe I just couldn't get to it quickly enough or soon enough.
It's important for spouses to support each other in taking care of themselves and to recognize, look, when you're feeling upset or sad or angry or a lack of energy, or that to realize, then I have a problem. What's bothering me? Let's talk about it. Let's figure out what's going on here. Why am I feeling this way? Am I feeling overwhelmed? Am I feeling sad? Am I just getting very nervous or anxious? There are a lot of emotions that happen as a parent that you never had before.
Right, and I think the key to all of that, you know, the word I want to use and put out there is observe. Don't judge. Observe and kind of try to understand. You don't need to judge what's going on. You don't need to call yourself names or, you know, some sort of failure, some sort of freak. Just observe what's going on. Gosh, this never happened to me before. I never felt this down before. I never felt this edgy or this angry before. What's going on? Observe it. Maybe your spouse can even help you with it. Maybe they have insight that you're too tired to look at or to find.
And finally, spiritually, it's really very important. You know, we have to feed ourselves spiritually like we have to feed ourselves physically. It's a real transition. Certainly, you know, you grow up going to yeshiva, and certainly for guys, or the learning, they go to yeshiva, they spend a few years really learning all the full time, or at least most of the day, and then they've got to go to work, they've got to do this, they're, you know, they're lucky if they find an hour or two during the day to learn. And going to shiurim, or doing things that really feed you spiritually, that you feel, you know, you feel a real satisfaction and a connection. Very important.
It's important for guys, but it's important for women too. Women aren't necessarily going to get all of their spiritual needs met by making a potato kugel. I mean, it certainly has never worked for me. So it would be wonderful. There's so many things available now, online, audio, that you don't have to go to. Of course, actually going to a shiur, a live shiur, is probably, for me anyway, the best way to go about it.
Right, but there's great choices today in, you know, live video conferencing of shiurim, you know, with the Torah Connection Network and, you know, across the country. And there are lots of shiurim on OURadio.org that you can, you know, listen to, you know, and other places have shiurim that you can actually watch online. But actually going out and participating in some sort of Torah religious and, you know, experience.
Here's a radical idea that we started when we were dating. We used to go to shiurim together. And, you know, we still do that. We still enjoy going to shiurim together when we can. It's fabulous.
So that's another way that, A, you feel, you know, you can connect, role model for your children, connect with your spouse on doing this together, and feed yourself spiritually. So that all these things are really important. And as much as this is a show about parenting, you're saying, what did they tell me about parenting today?
Right. This is about parenting because this is the modeling for what we mentioned a little bit in the beginning of that balance, a balance in life, and being able to kind of do it, not do it all, but make it all work well.
And that your children watch what you do, okay? And if you're in balance and they see that you seem happy and you're able to be calm and appropriate and that you're taking care of yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually is part of your regimen, they'll learn that and they'll know how to do that for themselves.
And it's an enormous gift. And by the same token, if you're struggling with every Shabbos and you look like a wreck and you're coming into Shabbos, either spouse or both spouses wrecks, or every yontif is an enormous amount of stress and strain and discord in the house, then that's what they're going to see, and that's what they're going to model, and that's what they're going to think Shabbos and yontif are all about also.
We certainly hope that you enjoyed today's talk, and thank you for joining us today on Parent is a Verb at OURadio.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email them to parentisaverb, all one word, parentisaverb@OU.org. Thank you and have a good day.